This is Democracy Optimist. Here's your host, Professor Joshua Douglas of the University of Kentucky Rosenberg College of Law.
What does it mean? To be American.
Welcome to Democracy Optimist, where we discuss the current state of American democracy and even provide a dose of hope along the way. I have a bit of personal privilege as we start our conversation today. In May, my daughter was awarded the Kentucky Civic Seal at her 8th grade promotion ceremony. Her principal noted that the designation showed she had engaged meaningfully in projects that demonstrated the power of staying engaged in civic life. So what is the Kentucky Civic Seal? How do students obtain it? And why is it important? And could it be the key to improving civics education and ultimately sustaining our democracy? Here to tell us all about it is Carly Mutertes. Carly is a former high school social studies teacher, an expert in civic education, and the co-founder of Common Good Ed, an organization that seeks to provide educational resources to diverse communities. She is also the chair of the Kentucky Civic Education Coalition, which seeks to promote civic education in public schools. Carly, welcome to Democracy Optimist.
Hi, great to be here.
So tell us about the Kentucky Civic Seal. Is this actually a big deal, or am I just being a proud dad?
It's a big deal. So the Kentucky Civic Seal is a recognition program to acknowledge students who practice exceptional citizenship. So we have four main criteria that students need to satisfy to be awarded it. They need to, first and foremost, the big component is they need to design and enact a civic engagement project of some form. It can be big or small, and it doesn't necessarily even need to be traditional politic topics. It can be about the issues facing students in their neighborhood. So students need to complete that project, design and complete it. They need to demonstrate knowledge of governance and democratic principles. They need to practice media and information literacy, which is particularly important in today's age. And they need to self-reflect. So it's not necessarily a big deal in that I believe this type of experience should be table stakes in modern education. But it is a big deal because giving students the opportunity to be the drivers of their learning and take action outside of the classroom is unfortunately the exception, not the rule.
So how did this start? I mean, it sounds like it cuts up against some of the focus of today's education, which is to teach to the test, to focus on math and reading skills and the scores. That's not obviously a negative. Those things are important, but this is an added thing on top of some of those, you know, major concerns that many teachers and parents and students have. So I guess there's a couple questions embedded in there. First, how did this initiative start? And how do you go and overcome those hurdles with the rest of the curriculum in schools?
Yeah, so how this initiative started really actually aligns well with that question, because the idea sprang from the passing of a civics test here in Kentucky. The legislature passed a graduation requirement where students need to pass a multiple choice exam modeled after the naturalization exam. And myself and some colleagues were in opposition to that. Not because we don't think that content knowledge is important, but because a multiple choice test does not demonstrate a student is prepared for engaging in their communities or applying what they learn in the classroom. So I actually went to the Capitol several times to speak against it. And a story I like to tell is that I believe I was in front of the school board when I said, we really need an opportunity for students to experience and apply what they learn in the classroom, not just regurgitate content. Regurgitating content's good for trivia, but it's not good for preparing you for the real world. And one of the members of the board looked at me and said, what you're asking us to do is hard. And he ended the sentence there. And of course, you know, anything worth doing is pretty hard, but there's examples all over the country of students being given this opportunity to, again, take what they're learning in the classroom, connect it to a real world issue, and then be given the opportunity to actually apply it. Now, going back to what you said about all the other considerations that teachers have, totally, 100%. With civics, though, that's where the magic really happens, because civics traditionally is associated with political science or government content, but it's really about how we apply what we learn to, again, those real world issues. So there's all kinds of studies that demonstrate when students have these experiences, it increases both academic and social outcomes. So it increases test scores across subject areas. It increases students' connection to school, to one another. It also builds their confidence in their ability to succeed at school. So while, you know, a lot of people might say civics is actually just social studies, it's about, you know, how a bill becomes a law, it's actually so much more than that when you frame it in the way that we're trying to do with the Civic Seal.
So I'm going to ask a follow-up question, which is probably going to sound super obvious to you, but I think worth exploring. You gave us a little bit about why improving civics education is important, but I want to go a little bit deeper. In today's political environment, in today's culture, why is it vital that we really invest in students' civic learning?
Oh, there's so much I could talk about with this. I know we don't have all day. Really, you know, one thing we can anchor on here is ultimately the idea of why do we even value public education in this country? And a lot of folks might say, well, it's preparing students for their future careers, preparing them for college, which is all legitimate and true. But ultimately, schools are a microcosm of greater society. This is the opportunity to prepare students not only for future careers, but giving them the opportunity to engage with diverse people. They've actually done studies that in students, you know, K-12 experiences, that's going to be the most diverse communities that they interact with. So civic learning is going to be beyond even the applying of knowledge, in that it's also about what are we teaching students in the classroom about how they learn, about how they engage with one another, how they ask questions. So civic education, like I said, I feel like it is the magic where it allows students to see how what they learn is applicable to their lives. But it's also about just fostering students' understanding of how to live in a pluralist society, how to talk to one another. And that's something that is very obvious to say is a particular challenge for adults right now, let alone students.
Yeah, I'm curious about how Kentucky does on this front. A 2023 study found that only 44% of Kentuckians could name a legislator who represented them or had contacted an elected official. First, is that the right measure of civic engagement? You know, can you name your member of Congress or your state legislator? And second, how does Kentucky fare on measures of civic education and civic knowledge?
I think it's a measure. I don't know if there is one indicator that I would say this is how we know. But going back to even the civics test, that civic engagement, how we frame that shouldn't be in just any individual acts that we associate with traditional civics. Voting, for example, is a really helpful metric, and it's indicative of other things, but that's not the only way we should be thinking about civic engagement. So I do think like knowing who your representatives are is important, but if students just have that memorized and don't know what that person does, then we really haven't changed our circumstances. And when I've spoken with legislators, that's their biggest complaint, is people call and don't know what it is they do. And if we give students the experiences to actually apply and, like you said, contact those elected representatives, they're going to learn it through that action versus just memorizing it, right? Now, in terms of how Kentucky is doing, in that kind of metric, we're on par with a lot of other places. And that's kind of like a perennial issue, right? Of civic knowledge, US history knowledge. I feel like every generation or so, there's articles saying kids don't know anything these days, but you can find those articles going back to the 1800s, right? So that kind of metric, again, it's helpful. And I think that demonstrates that what we're doing hasn't been effective, but rather than double downing on memorizing content, how can we move towards approaches that we know work and we know engage students and have all these holistic benefits that make schooling relevant and meaningful to kiddos?
We're speaking with Carly Mutertes, one of the people behind the creation of the Kentucky Civic Seal, which students in Kentucky can obtain. So tell us more about how a student actually receives the Kentucky Civic Seal. How are teachers involved, parents involved, and the students themselves?
The program itself is meant to be flexible to students, to schools, to geographic contexts. So on our website, which is kycivicseal.org, we list some of the criteria based upon those four elements that I mentioned previously. But how that comes to life in the classroom will and should look different. So what I mean is, we had an elementary school here in Lexington, where I'm based, where her students identified issues of all sorts that they were interested in. They did research, they proposed action, they took action. So that wasn't necessarily even in a social studies class. And a lot of the topics students selected really were interdisciplinary. Like, there were topics about honeybees and how we can be more thoughtful about protecting honeybee habitats, which is very much a part of a science curriculum. Likewise, we have other schools who have other programs they're doing, other leadership programs like Model UN or similar. And if students are given the opportunity to drive that learning, then they are going to be eligible for the Civic Seal. So again, we have criteria, but ultimately we work with teachers all over the state and help them think about, how in my context can I give students an opportunity to apply what they learn? So we have it mainly in social studies classes right now, but I'm really hoping we see more and more bridging to the arts, to English language arts, to science, and even ancient history. There needs to be more opportunities to demonstrate why that information is meaningful.
And students can obtain the Civic Seal three times, actually, during their education, right? Because you can get it for elementary school up to fifth grade, middle school up to eighth, and then in high school as well, correct?
And that is correct. I'm not opposed to students earning it more than once in a particular grade band. That this type of experience, while we're acknowledging it through this program, we ultimately want this to be something habitually present in classrooms. And one thing I'll note, too, that makes Kentucky's program really special is, to the best of my knowledge, we are still the only program of this type that is available to elementary and middle school students. That civic engagement programs are often reserved for high school students. And elementary classrooms, I believe, are where the civic magic really lives, because that is a democratic space.
So these days, talking about improving civics education almost seems political itself. I mean, civic education has become kind of a dirty word or a dirty phrase among some people. How do we fight back against the idea that better education about democracy is somehow ideological?
I think what we're doing in Kentucky is a really strong demonstration of that for the nation, not just for folks within our state. Because as you said, a lot of civic engagement and a lot of language associated with civic engagement has been associated with partisan leanings. There's several terms that I just don't use when I'm talking with various people because I know there are partisan connotations. And not that I agree with those associations, but I recognize they exist. But what we're trying to demonstrate is everything is political, but not all engagement has to be partisan. So the civic engagement projects, I already gave at least one example, but when we talk to teachers, administrators, superintendents, we say these don't have to be hyper-partisan issues because a lot of what those leaders are concerned about is their jobs, about getting angry phone calls, getting on the news for students participating in something that they would rather they not, right? But what we do is try to frame it as this is where we're giving students opportunity to do something about something that they care about. And the media and information literacy component is also key to that, that we don't want students of any partisan slant to go into a topic already knowing their opinion and what they think should be done. That there is emphasis on weighing different perspectives and considering what they want to do in light of those. Now, we know not everyone will necessarily do that in earnest, but the idea is we're setting students up to do all the things that we want thoughtful citizens to do. But then ultimately, students are the drivers of this. Teachers can, you know, put up guardrails and make sure that they're doing things within the rules, but giving students that agency, it's going to get, you know, it can get into these partisan issues. But so far, what we've seen across the political aisle is folks really being inspired what students are coming up with. And to that point, too, it's also important to note that the Civic Seal, our partner in the Capitol, is the Secretary of State, who is himself a Republican and has been a super champion for this work. And I'm really proud that Kentucky was the first red state to have a Civic Seal, because I think we're really demonstrating that it doesn't always have to devolve into these partisan divides.
Now, of course, civic education should not just end in grade school. Tell us about some of the efforts to engage adults and make civic education a lifelong endeavor.
Yeah, and that's where it gets even trickier, right? They're not a captive audience once they're no longer in schools. One phenomenon that I think is really important to mention is that there has been a noted what one person called a trickle-up effect, where if students or young people are engaging in this way, that it has an influence on parents, on caretakers, on the community writ large. So like you said, we're talking about school, but in terms of like the long game, we're creating a foundation to really create more informed, engaged communities overall. So thinking about the adult experience right now, it's challenging depending on where you are. There's well-documented evidence about some communities, particularly rural communities, that are sometimes referred to as civic deserts, meaning the civic community ways people connect. There aren't as many options as, say, a big city where you can find people you relate to no matter what your interests are, right? But I do think for folks who want to engage, it's a matter of finding what resources there are in your region or connecting nationally, because we have the technology to do that. And finding ways that you can engage, connect in ways that are authentic to you. Where I am in Lexington, I work really close with a lot of nonprofits here, not least of which being a group called Civic Lex, who I saw you interviewed the executive director in a previous episode.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of what their work is doing is building spaces for people to come together. And I think that's really key to all of the things we're talking about, is returning to the importance of being in a pluralist democracy and creating room for that.
Carly Mutertes is a civic education champion and is the co-founder of Common Good Ed, which you can find at commongooded.com. You can learn more about the Kentucky Civic Seal program at kycivicseal.org. Carly, thanks for joining Democracy Optimist.
Thank you.
Josh, I know that you sit on the board of Civic Lex, the civics nonprofit here in Lexington that has really captured imaginations around the country. And we hear calls these days for a return to civic education in our schools. Was civic education ever a more regular part of the curriculum in public schools? What happened to change that, if it was?
I think we've always had some aspect of civic education in schools, but maybe not in the way that Carly was discussing we should in a more formalized manner. And I also think that we have shifted away from civics education in favor of math and reading. But one of the most important and interesting points that she made, I thought, was that civics education does not have to be a separate subject, right? It can be incorporated within math and reading and science. And she mentioned ancient history. So, you know, I think the work that Civic Lex is doing is really important in helping. They have a whole K through 12 program that they run as part of this, and they helped get some classrooms in Lexington to actually have the whole class get the Kentucky Civic Seal. But it needs to be a more holistic discussion as opposed to this is just your 45 minutes of civics education in the classroom.
You alluded during the interview to the idea that when people hear civics education, it's kind of a yawner. However, in a practical sense, in the day-to-day of living and working, raising a family in a community, why is it important to have true civic knowledge?
Because it's all about living in a society, right? I mean, you know, people drive on the roads. They care about schools. They care about clean water and clean air and public health. All of these subjects have at their core civic knowledge, right? Because who do you think paves those roads? Who do you think makes the policies that dictate whether you have drinking water that comes out of your faucets? And this is why I'm also so focused on local government, right? So many of these things come down to your local representatives. They actually impact your lives way more than the president does. You know, we have so much attention on the presidency, but it's your local representative that actually impacts your day-to-day living so much more. You know, everyone wants good schools. And so while civics can be a yawner, that word, or even can be politically charged, I mean, who can object to the core idea that we want good schools, that we want clean air and clean water and good roads to drive on? But those don't just happen magically. They don't just exist without people actually making important decisions about how our society should run. And so that's, I think, why civics really is an aspect of everyday life that we need to recognize. What does it
mean to be American? Thanks for joining us for this series of conversations about how elections work, about the value of your vote, and about challenges to your right and freedom to make choices at your local polling place. Find our series online at democracyoptimist.com. Joshua Douglas, writer and host, Mike Savage, executive producer. I'm Tom Martin, your series producer. Neil Kesterson, technical director and sound designer. Democracy Optimist theme song, American, by Madeline Peru, Mason Graber and Stephen Dabney, research assistants, Caitlin Douglas, graphic designer, Ella Fitzgeraldine, studio dog. Democracy Optimist is a special Eastern Standard series produced by Dynamics Productions for Richmond, Kentucky-based public radio station WEKU.